Yo, what's up? Welcome to the OK Beast Podcast, episode 31. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adelier. Joining me this week, as always, is Ian Prichot. What's up, Ian?
Hey, man. What's up? Oh, I have another stupid question for you in the same vein as last week. Okay, so if you could summon any video game character to, like, help you out in a bind, who would you summon?
Nico Bellic. Any main character,
he'd be deported now. He wouldn't have standing.
He wouldn't be deported. He's white. He wouldn't be deported. They only deport the brown immigrants, not the white ones. They're cool. Any main character in Grand Theft Auto, I would get to help me out because they know real life skills that can be like applied. You know, like what's Mario gonna do if I need help? Jump real high. What's Sonic gonna do? Turn into a ball? Like.
I'm pretty sure Sonic can run at the speed of sound and break the sound barrier, so I'm pretty sure he could be super helpful to you if he really wanted to.
If I'm like, yo, Sonic, like, I need you to help me out. Like, I need money.
Hey, Sonic, I need this Switch. Can you come pick it up? Okay, he's there and back in 2 seconds, and you have your Switch.
Where's he gonna get the Switch? Like, okay.
He can run at the speed of sound. He could go into the Amazon, and then by the time he could find it and then run back.
They're not gonna get a Switch to a hedgehog.
He was going to steal it. No one's going to say, oh, well, Sonic took it. That person's fired.
He can run fast, but I don't know if he can actually run at the speed of sound, though. Because I've seen cutscenes in Sonic games. He seems like he's running pretty fast, but he's not running like flash speed.
To quote the intro, moving around at the speed of sound, got places to go, gotta follow my rainbow. Don't you dare deny that song. Moving around at the speed of sound.
You know, 2 Chainz has a song where he says, she got a big booty, so I call her big booty. That doesn't literally mean that he calls her big... Well, 2 Chainz might actually call his girls big booty. But, like, you know, there's this thing called metaphors that a lot of song artists use in their music. Doesn't mean it's literally true.
No, it's
And so,
real.
Like, Sonic is fast.
Moving around
so I don't know,
at the speed of sound.
If that was true, then I'll beat
got
Sonic
to follow
stages
my
in,
rainbow.
Like, 5 seconds. I don't buy it. Where was I going with that? Oh, Switch. I pre-ordered my Switch and it's not here.
Wait, you didn't let me answer,
to arrive
you
here
asshole.
Today. Oh, I. You said you were asking me the question. I didn't know that
I was asking.
Like
I was asking us
thing.
The question.
It sounded like you were asking me. I didn't know this is a reciprocal kind of thing where I had to be like, oh, what about you? I didn't know this is like a first date or something. But sure,
bless,
what about you?
Bless, that's how a podcast works. It's all about asking, what about you?
Is it, though? Is it...
So, I mean, sometimes it's you talking about Donkey Kong 64 for 5 hours, and then I'm sitting here like this.
That was our best episode. That was featuring Barrett, Courtney.
No, not that episode. I'm talking about the hundreds of other episodes or hundreds of times that you have literally been sitting here talking about DK64, and then I've gone into a small coma. Okay.
Donkey Kong 64 is the greatest game of all time.
You wouldn't summon, like, okay, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. In video games, they're... Like, for example, Final Fantasy 15, there are gods that literally exist. You wouldn't summon a god. Like, some dude's talking shit to you in front of a bar. And he's like, yeah, whatever, bro. And then you're like, all right. And then you summon Ifrit, like a 400-foot wolf beast that made a fire behind you. And the guy's like, okay, I'm done. And then he kills that guy. Because what is someone going to say? Oh, a giant wolf beast from another dimension killed him.
I'm going to jail if that happens, you know. And also, like,
you didn't
when you
do
say
it.
A bind, but I helped. I was like, I was present in the situation, and I'm part. I'm like, what's the word? I'm an associate. I'm like I'm partners with this god.
An accessory.
That
you're
man.
An. Well, no. Here,
I'm
the god doesn't like give you a high five as he fucking teleports out to the other dimension. Like, what are the police gonna say? Like they're
the
like
police
they're like
walking
asking
the bar.
Around.
The police walk in the bar, they see me, they see I'm black, they see a dead person, they're like, oh, well, the black guy did it, of course, and then I go to jail. Or more likely, I get shot.
Wait, I'm imagining a scenario where the police walk into the bar and the giant wolf demon is still there, and it's just a bunch of white people, the wolf demon, and you, and they're like, you see, well, there's a giant wolf demon from another dimension, but it had to have been the black guy, right? I mean, look at the wolf is just on fire. I mean, he's not doing anything. I mean, there's the black guy.
There's not even that much thought put into it. They walk in the first 2 seconds. They see all the people. They see the wolf god. They see me. They shoot me on the spot. And they're like, you saw him. He was coming at me. You saw him, Johnson.
And the wolf god is like,
he was about
seriously?
To attack. Just disappears. Okay, who are you calling to help you? Or is that your answer, the wolf god? from Final Fantasy, which I'm not even sure is a real character
at
this point.
I would either summon a Final Fantasy god, or I would summon like a Pokemon.
Maybe a Pokemon.
Pokemon are extremely useful. Like, oh, I want to go home to America. All right, let me call in Rayquaza, or let me call in the homie Charizard, and then I just fly there.
They're gonna say Rayquan then, like the rapper.
But then I thought about it more realistically, and like imagine you summon Rayquaza to fly you across the ocean, and then you get shot down by a goddamn plane or something.
Exactly.
There's
that's
a
why
giant
you have to think
dead Rayquaza in the middle, and oh my god,
that's
they're like aliens
weird.
Are real.
That's why my answer is immediately like one of the main characters in GTA, because like nobody's gonna question Niko Bellic walking down the street because he's just chilling. He's Niko Bellic. He's just a guy, right?
When you say
a bind, I think of like me being like broke down on the road, like my car just broke down, I have a tire out, and I'm like, I don't need to like call up like freaking what game was I playing? I don't need to call up the character from Nier Automata and be like, yo, my tire's out. Like, what are they gonna do? Shoot it or like use a sword and like cut up some random stranger? I'm like, no, I'm going to call up freaking Franklin because he knows cars. He knows what he's doing. He's going to like call up his car homies being like, yo, dealership, help this guy out. I'm going to get into another car. I'm going to steal this other guy's car, deliver it to him. We're both going to come through slow motion, special ability our way all the way to this car dealership, pick up the tire and get this thing to go, you know?
Okay.
That's some applicable kind of thing right there.
I guess. But like, okay, I want to go to America for like one day. I call in, I special summon Mewtwo. Mewtwo teleports me there, and then Mewtwo goes back.
A stranger sees him and calls the authorities, and then all of a sudden is
I do it in a house. I do it in a house, and I teleport to my house. No one sees shit.
I don't know, man. And also, like, did you watch the Pokemon the first movie? If you call up Mewtwo to this world, he will destroy this world.
Benevolent.
He will make clones of all the
Mewtwo.
Humans, then try to murder all the actual humans.
Fine. Then Mew or some Pokemon that can teleport. Some Esper-type Pokemon that can teleport.
Hey, I mean, if you say so, man. Call up Abra.
For no reason, I did not realize this question was going to become me being a dreamer and you being a hyper-realistic person.
Yeah, because this is a hyper-realistic world. People die here. It's not all just hopes and dreams. I'm having a bad day, as you know.
Well, guys.
Everything's not all.
People.
Ooh, Sans would be a cool. You know what? I scratched my answer. Sans or Sans or however you pronounce it from Undertale.
Sans
just
from Undertale,
he's a dope
yeah.
dude. Yeah, even though if like somebody sees him, then it's game over. Like, the cops are over here asking questions. The government's getting involved. I get shot for some reason because I'm black. But
it seems to be like a theme. It seems like to be a big theme.
It's a large theme. That's why I don't go outside. Is because I'm all get shot. Because I'm, dude, today I saw two police officers riding horses, and I lost my mind. It was really random. I don't know if that's a common thing in like places in America, but like I was just chilling at the bus stop, and I just see two officers coming around the corner, and it's raining, and like these horses are like they're riding horses, and I'm like, what the heck is happening right now? Like, what's my life? I was supposed to get my Switch ordered or my Switch delivered today, and it got delayed until tomorrow. I won't say the whole story because I don't feel like it right now. But it's a thing that kind of put a damper on my day because I have Zelda and I just can't play it until tomorrow. And so for the people listening, I'm sorry I don't have any Switch updates for you. And I wasn't going to anyway, but it still saddens me that the Switch isn't in my house and I can't like touch it and feel it. I have Zelda and I can lick it and tell you how it tastes, but I don't know, I don't feel like it right now. For those listening, remember that the OK Beast podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about. Sorry, I put a certain inflection on come together, and I feel like it sounds weird if I don't like redo it.
Oh my god, you're so gross.
We're a couple of friends.
Damn intro.
Because I said come together instead of come together, and so it sounds weird, you know.
God damn.
Maybe
it.
I have to go. I might have to go back and edit that. Where
this
a couple of friends come together and this pot. Oh man, you sound like Sean Murray right now. Where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We are the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. Also, rate us on iTunes. And also, be prepared. I think we might switch the podcast feed soon. Just for technical reasons, the podcast kind of process that we use right now isn't like the best. And so sooner or later, within a few weeks, could be a month or two, the feeds for the podcast are going to switch over to a different RSS. So be prepared. Be paying attention. I'll definitely upload. I'll tweet out as much as possible. I'll upload a podcast post on this feed saying, hey, look for the new feed and all that stuff. I'll make sure to keep you guys updated. But just keep that in mind. If all of a sudden your podcast feed just stops updating, then keep in mind that we're in the process of moving to a different one, just for logistical reasons and to get everything better. We're just trying to get everything better. With that being said, Ian, what have you been up to this week, man?
So things have been pretty crazy at work. So I've been pretty much only playing Horizon Zero Dawn. Came out on Tuesday, I think. Yeah, like Tuesday. And yeah. I've been like going whole hog into that.
So let's get into it, since we've both been playing Horizon Zero Dawn and it's like the big thing, and so I guess this is where we have our Horizon Zero Dawn conversation. Ian, how are you feeling about Horizon?
It does some things really, really well, and then it does some things, like really basic things, not so well. Mm-hmm. And that's
okay.
Kind of my general thoughts on it.
What are the things that you feel like it does well?
Story and like story hooks. And, like, environmental storytelling it does really well. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like, the story hooks just seem really good. Again, I don't want to spoil anything if anyone hasn't started playing mm-hmm. it. But if you've seen any commercials for it, then you kind of get the gist of it. There's robots. There's humans. It's, like, more of an ancient world. Mm-hmm. And the story connections, the story hooks for that are very enticing. They're very good. Yeah, and there's, like... I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but Bless and I talked for like a few moments on Twitter about it. The cauldrons. The cauldrons are something completely different.
Yeah. Dude, and
and it's to the point where like the main story is so enticing that like when I see human beings talk, I'm just bored. And I almost have no desire to talk to human beings, and I just want to go straight to the environmental storytelling, and I want to go to the next area. I want to see the next creature. I want to see, or the machine, or I want to see the next thing I'm going to fight, or the next cutscene. Like those. I can't even think of the right wording for this, but like that is how good this story is. The main story mm-hmm. is so far is that I'm like I'm really ready for that next thing. I'm really excited for that next thing. Even though, like, the side missions are not as enticing as I would like them to be, mm-hmm. that's not important to me because the main story and the environmental storytelling done in this game is, like, top-notch.
Yeah, the environmental storytelling is awesome. And I think for the specific reasons you were telling me, like, I think, like, people in general already know that this game takes place in, like, the distant, like, dystopic future. Mm-hmm. And so that's not really a spoiler. And, like, you can already tell by the robots and... all that stuff. And you were telling me before the pod, stuff I didn't realize that you mentioned to me is that like there are places in the game where you like saw like I was gonna say a Mazda, but we were joking about a Mazda. You didn't see a Mazda in the game. You saw like stoplights and stuff that are, like have been like decayed and stuff like that, and like the little details that tell stories and that stuff is very present in the game. The game is really cool because it does so much with environment. Like the setting's really cool, and I haven't gotten far enough in the game. I'm about 8 hours in, and so like I have an idea of what the setting is, but I don't think I haven't like explicitly been told or through the story yet like exactly like where the setting is. So it's, I think it's kind of easy to kind of gather from where I've been in the game so far. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like walking around, and like you said, like the cauldrons, like I won't spoil the cauldrons, but like the cold, like I've only been to one cauldron. And basically like those are basically like a side thing. I think they kind of remind me of like the tombs in Tomb Raider, where like it's kind of this optional thing, and you go in there and you kind of do your thing. But my first experience in a cauldron was mind-blowing because like you said, the story is dope, and the story very much reminds me of a Hunger Games kind of thing, which is, I know it sounds like an easy comparison because Aloy is, of course, like a girl and she uses a bow and arrow, and that's an easy comparison to make to the girl in Hunger Games and all that stuff. But also, like, it's also very different. Like, I feel like the way the story is told, at least the main story is told, it feels to me like it has that kind of vibe of, like, that PG-13 dystopian future kind of, like, weird... well, kind of like being a commentary on the way life is now. Meanwhile, like, having like this weird like sci-fi fantasy vibe to it. Like the vibe very much struck me as like a post Hunger Games kind of thing. And I'm surprised I haven't seen like anyone else actually have that take on the game, which interests me. But that's, I think that's a testament to how good the story is. Like the main story, like the cutscenes look beautiful. Like the people's faces specifically, I feel like look beautiful. Like every time there's a cutscene, every time
they look really beautiful, but they're not animated well, in my opinion.
You're right. No, you're right. And like people have pointed this out that
Aloy, the voice, Aloy is animated beautifully.
Yeah.
And like she more than anyone like looks like a real human being. But then like the other people, like for example, if Aloy is on the right side of the Uncanny Valley, then the rest of the cast, or at least some, like half of the cast I've met so far, is like right in the middle. Like you look at them and you're like, there's some shit that's weird. Like, but Aloy seems to be normal. And then like also again, I think you mentioned it just now, some of the voice acting is kind of weird. Like,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, like again, it's not like a deal breaker for me, and we were talking about this before, like, you know, we were talking like, oh yeah, this the cauldron is amazing, this thing is really amazing, and it seems as though like the highs of Horizon are like this crazy super high highs, like the you get to this boss battle, it's amazing, you get to the cauldron, it's amazing, you get to see these beautiful landscapes and like see these new robots, it's amazing, but then like the small things seem to be kind of overlooked, and like I don't know if that's just because it's Guerrilla Games, like, first open world game, or like this first type of game they've ever done like this.
Well, let me get, and, I want to get, before you get into your lows, I want to get into like my highest highs, so then we can get into your lows, because I have very few lows so far. I have a couple lows, but compared to the highs, I feel like this game is incredible in general. Like, this game is getting like great reviews, and like I agree with most of the reviews, like it's getting nines and stuff, and like if I had to put a review on this game so far, I'm only 8 hours in, so I can't give like a fully like realized review, but so far I'm like, this game is like a 9.5 region for me. And like the way I describe this game is it's basically like what I imagined next gen games would be like when I still had a PS3, like when the PS4 was first announced, I was like, the games I imagined that would come out for it were basically this game. And that's because like the game is beautiful. Like the game looks incredible. Like you said, the animations are pretty iffy, but I feel like aside from the animations, I find myself during every cutscene, every conversation, I'm like staring at the faces of these characters. Not because like
same.
Just because like everything looks polished. It's kind of an interesting art style because it's trying to be photorealistic and stuff, but also like it's done so in a way that isn't super uncanny, at least for me. When the audio drifts, like this, when the syncing's off on the voice, on like the words in the mouth, I think that's when things start to get weird. But like, yep. I feel like aside from that, and aside from like how the faces animate and stuff, I feel like the way the faces look on their own is like really like beautiful and really good, and it catches me off guard like most of the time, where I'm just like having a conversation with somebody, I'm like looking at their face, I'm like, why do they look so good? And so that stuff's really impressive. The world in general just looks beautiful to me. Like, I've taken so many screenshots in this game just because I'll just be playing and I'll stop and I'm like, dude, this is a beautiful scene. Like, I feel like every single you can stop playing that game at any time, pause the screen, and then like take a screenshot and it'll look like a beautiful screenshot. I feel like that's how good the game looks on its own. Gameplay wise, I feel like the combat's awesome. And I think me and you have like different views on this, but we'll get into yours in a second. But like, I find that I have two choices when it comes to to combat. And that is like, one, be stealthy, two, be kind of all over the place. And I find that the way I go about combat in this game, which is being all over the place, tends to be fun. It's difficult because I feel like you can die at any time in combat, like no matter how good you are, like if you're not being careful, you will just like get killed. This doesn't seem like a game where like you can just focus solely on meleeing your opponents, which I kind of like to do in games. Like in this game, you kind of have to like be smarter. You have a tripwire that you can use to like to trip your enemies. You have your bow and arrow that you can use, and I'm pretty good with a bow and arrow, and so like I'm able to use that pretty effectively. But for the most part, I feel like this game allows you to mix up the combat enough ways that it feels interesting. I feel like fighting humans isn't as fun in this game. I kind of don't like fighting humans. I only like fighting the machines, is something I've noticed. And I mean, that's been fun for me. Man, what else did I have? So this game kind of seems to me like a halfway point between Far Cry 3 and The Witcher 3. And I say that because it has RPG depth to it. Like it has like the conversations, it has like the leveling up system, and it's a lot more basic than Witcher 3 in those regards. But also it feels deeper than like a Far Cry 3 or like a Shadow of Mordor, and like, or it feels deeper than an action game with RPG elements. It feels more like an RPG with like a lot more action elements, but also it does have the great gameplay that you expect from an action game, which is why I feel like this game is kind of what I had imagined, you know, next gen gaming to be, because it has the best of all the worlds to me. Like, I can play the game and feel adequate. Like, The Witcher 3, like, even the combat in Witcher 3, I still didn't feel like was solid, and it didn't really have much fun with the combat. Meanwhile, like, a lot of, like, the RPG mechanics felt great. This game, I feel like running around feels awesome. I feel like climbing feels awesome. I think you have a different opinion on that, but mm-hmm. I feel like playing the game in general feels awesome, and then, like, the story and the RPG and all that stuff all together feels awesome in this game. And so, yeah, what about you?
So, so in terms of the climbing, okay, so what I said before was is that this game has really great storytelling and has really great ties, I guess, in its story to, like, have you be drawn in. But the problem with me is that I think mechanically there's some things that really bother me. And for context, I'm coming off of Neo, so that's the kind of, like, mechanical game that I'm looking for, or that I've just recently played. So when you're fighting big monsters, and maybe I'm just dumb and I missed the tutorial, so that's very possible, there's no lock-on system. So I can't, like, for example, a lot of these creatures, like, run around really fast, and especially if you're fighting multiple creatures, it's really hard to keep track of where they are. And I find myself getting messed up by creatures or robots behind me because I don't have a lock-on system, and that's really frustrating to me, especially coming from a game like with Neo, where you have this good lock-on system where you need to know your ranges and know what's going on. So that's really lame to me. And it seems as though the game was designed as a stealth game, and then they were like, oh yeah, you could totally fight them non-stealth, but when in reality, the best way to fight 98% of the time is always going to be stealth, since you can kill most enemies with one shot, even like the higher enemies with one shot, if you go into a silent strike. So it seems as though there's, like, one right way to play, and, like, when I try and play the more action-oriented way, it seems to be a little bit more frustrating because the mechanics aren't as good as I would like them to be, or not necessarily good. They're not the same mechanics that I would like from other games. For example, like, if you're fighting big monsters in Monster Hunter, you have a lock-on. You have ways of like, knowing where these robots are, or these creatures are in Monster Hunter. And then with the climbing that I have a problem with is that, I guess it's the visual design of the climbing. So you have this beautiful world. You have these, like, beautiful landscapes, like these greens, these browns, these, like, these metal pipes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But the problem is that there's not a consistent visual language to tell you how or where you're supposed to climb. Like, for example, on the building, sometimes you'll see either a white surface or a yellow surface. And especially with, like, during the rain or, like, during other types of weather, it's nearly impossible to find where you're supposed to climb up in these buildings. Like, I spent, I think, maybe close to 5-10 minutes trying to look for, I knew what the building was. I could see the top of the building where I could go to this waypoint. And I'm, like, running around in circles around this building because it was unclear where I could start. And the same thing happened to me with a mountain. I, like, was running around in a circle trying to find out where to start running up. And I think maybe the problem is that while they did visual design over the
gameplay.
Yeah, the gameplay is, like, more secondary
application. Yeah. I feel you. I understand what you're
like with the robots. The robots, like, their weak points and stuff, that's a little bit more easy to understand. But in terms of climbing, like, the starting is the problem. I don't know where to start, and that's kind of an issue for me, especially when you have, like, 90% like, a lot of your collectibles are about finding where things are and, like, going up to the top of things. If I can't figure out where to start climbing, then there's visually something going on. I need to figure out, like, is there a color, is there, like, certain buildings have the certain thing you're supposed to look out for. And it's not only with the buildings, it's also with the mountains. So that's, yeah, that was kind of frustrating for me as well. And then I think I had one more thing that I remember. But yeah, those two things definitely frustrated me. And I think we were talking about this before the podcast started, but there are these creatures that you can ride, striders, and they're like your way of getting from point A to point B. And I was going from the first area to the second area, and I couldn't find any striders, and there's like this giant gap of like having, like, there's no way to fast travel, or there is fast travel system that you need to spend these like backpack points, I guess, or backpack like fast travel like currency to go from A to B. But the problem is that I couldn't get a strider, so it took me from point A to point B on the area one to area two. It took me so long because there's a giant drought of striders. And then I finally found a strider area, and other robots had killed all the striders in the area. So it was just frustrating. And it just felt like I was like, ah, come on, stop. Like, you're such a great game that these small things are frustrating me a lot. It doesn't take away from my experience overall. I'm still having a good time and I still want to play it more, but it's these small things where I'm just like, oh, where's the lock on? Like, you know, it's like stuff like that.
I feel you though. Like, my one gripe with the, well, I'm trying to think if I have any other gripes before I say my one gripe. One of my gripes with this game is the upgrades. I feel like the upgrades could have done better. And we talked about this a little bit right before we started recording, to where, like, your complaint was that, like, there is one objective that you're trying to get to that was, like, far away, and you ran forever. You just couldn't find... Striders are the one that you ride, right?
Yeah, the Those Striders, that, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I've had the same exact issue of, like, I'll look for a Strider for, like, forever and just won't be able to find one. I found myself... I can't think of the correct word, but like dominating certain machines, thinking like, okay, this one I can probably ride, and then all of a sudden like, oh, I guess I can't ride this one because it's not like the specific one. And like, there's an upgrade that you can get, like, it's like at the bottom of the upgrade tree, or I guess that's not a good way to explain it. It's like the last item at a certain upgrade tree.
It's the most expensive. It's the most expensive upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the final one in the certain tree, and for you to get it, you have to spend like a lot of your upgrade points or whatever, but it allows you to call on a rideable machine at any point you want. And that doesn't seem to be like a good upgrade. That seems like it strikes me as something that they could have made into like an actual like feature instead of an upgrade. Or they could have allowed for more of the rideable creatures to just be more populated in the game. And, like, the other upgrades are cool, but none of the upgrades... Like, I don't look at any of the certain upgrades and be like, oh, dude, I have to have this. I look at all the upgrades, and I'm like, well, I guess that'll be helpful. Or I guess that'll help me along my journey.
It seems more item-based than upgrade-based. And it seems like if you find the right items, then you should be okay. But also, speaking on what you just said before, why can't I ride the fucking tiger guys? Wouldn't that be coolest thing ever? Why can't I ride the dragon guys? Like, why can't I ride the bird ones? Like there's tons of these creatures, and they're like, well, you can only ride the horse. And I'm like,
yeah. No, I totally agree.
Why can't I ride the watchers? The watchers are way bigger than me. I could easily just pop into a watcher and then just ride on.
Like, and even like the tiger like ones. I think what
Scrappers,
happens
I think
after, after you yeah after you dominate them, basically what they do is they like attack other animals.
Well, that's true for all of them. If you dominate any of them except for the Strider, they just kill everything around them. But the problem is you don't get experience for that. It's really easy to like clear out a large group of them if you take the most powerful one and then you dominate them and then you just walk away and then you can get all the stuff around them for free, which is cool. But like, you don't gain experience from that, and all you do is get the item. So I guess maybe like in later parts where you see these really difficult like robots, like you'll just dominate the most difficult one to defeat, which takes one of them off of like the map for you, and then that one just kills the rest, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, all in all, I love Horizon. Like, once again, if I had to score it, it'd be like in the nines, probably a nine for me so far. I'm like, if I run into like some roadblock up ahead in like the next like few hours, and all of a sudden like the game like shows me like, I don't know, a dude in a KKK outfit like, hey, this is our territory now, boy, and I'll be like, oh, maybe not, maybe
that'd be a
that would be a plot twist. That'd be actually pretty fascinating. I might actually increase the score just due to it being like as unpredictable.
But since we just talked about it, and since it seems to be like a hot issue in this game, and we actually talked about it earlier this week about the cultural appropriation supposedly, and I just saw on Twitter about the writer of Horizon is responding to critics saying that there's Native American appropriation in the game. We talked a little bit about it in a short form on Twitter, but what are your thoughts overall? Because I know you had an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it, but I'm a white dude and you're black.
I've come around on it. Like, so I don't really have this problem anymore. The problem I did have, it wasn't really a problem with like race or specifically like it wasn't like a deep problem or anything. It was like a minor gripe I had was that like there's a certain area of the game that you got to, and like there was it's basically like a village area. And like I was walking by a certain area, and there's like these performers that were like singing in what sounded like an African. It sounded like a different language, and they're singing. It sounded similar to Nigerian to me, or like a Nigerian style language, but it sounded like a Nigerian kind of themed like performance, and it struck me as very Nigerian. And I was like, that is very peculiar to be in this game that doesn't really. I don't want to like spoil. I guess this is not a spoiler, but like it doesn't seem to be an African kind of setting. Like it seemed to be a very left field, considering like all the characters are speaking English and all the characters are like they seem to have like a certain going for a certain thing that I feel like that certain thing didn't fit in with. And like there are two problems I kind of have with it. One of them being that like I felt like it didn't fit in the game thematically, and like I've come around that because like the more I played, like that was like within like my first 4 hours. Now that I played a little bit more, I got into another area of the game where they kind of do some stuff with like culture and race and stuff, and I'm like I guess at this point I'm just gonna accept it because it seems like they're rolling in a lot of stuff into this game, and it's there seems to be a deeper lore to what they're going with rather than just like randomly throwing it in. Like before when I saw it, it just felt like a randomly thrown in thing of like, okay, well, we have like these people who are primitive and these people who are supposed to be like living in sort of a primitive nature, so like let's give them like this African kind of thing that we found and have them perform it. That was my main issue, my main concern with it. But after playing more of the game and after like seeing a bit more of the different things that it's trying to do with its setting and with the story, I've kind of dismissed it so far. If I get to the end of the game and that stuff isn't like fully explained better, and if it isn't like delved into a little bit deeper, then I might still have that problem of like, well, if you have a cool aesthetic, you have a cool thing you're doing, but if there's no depth and there's nothing underneath it, then it feels kind of superficial rather than deep and rather than cool. You know, like when it comes to portraying like culture and portraying certain types of people or borrowing or being inspired by certain types of things, I feel like you have to like, it has to be more than surface level. If it's just surface level and it feels like it's kind of just it's kind of just a conveniency thing for you rather than an inspiration thing for you. And so that was my small gripe. The dude the director or whatever it was of Horizon who was responding to the Native American appropriation, I didn't get to like read his response and stuff, and I wish I did. And I wish I read more about like why people had certain issues with Native American appropriation. I saw that one of the people, Daniel Riendo from Waypoint, which I'm a very big fan of Waypoint, the website for Vice Gaming, she tweeted out, saying like I think dreads was an issue in the game.
I agree with you on that. Actually, I don't think in terms of the appropriation issue. I just think that, like, for example, there are African American characters, or I guess they're not technically African because there's no fucking future Africa, but like there are black characters in the game, and they have dreadlocks, and it looks completely natural and it looks completely fine. And then you see like a couple of like, I don't know if Aloy has dreadlocks, but she has like flowing red hair, and then you see a bunch of the white dudes with dreadlocks. And not that I'm like dissing dreadlocks if you're white, and we actually had I think we had like a 2-hour conversation about this one time.
Yeah, we had a long conversation about this,
and the thing is, like, I just think stylistically for these people it doesn't look good. But then again, I don't know anything about like old Viking culture, so like maybe they did that in the old times or whatever. Yeah. And then I know I think dreadlocks are actually also, I think they started, or like historically started, after the Fertile Crescent in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was moved from the Fertile Crescent from Africa to Rome. So I don't know. But it just doesn't look good on some of the characters, and that's kind of also one of the issues I have. But in terms of the appropriation, here, again, I come from a place where I grew up, my town is known for being very diverse. And I know that sounds like your white friend saying I have a black friend, but the thing is that when I think of other cultures, I think that they're these amazing wells to, like, pull from in terms of artistic expression, in terms of history, in terms of all this stuff. Because as a white person, I don't really have that much connection to Russia and to, you know, Poland and stuff like that. Because, you know, when the whole Hitler thing happened in World War II, I had to, or not me, but my family was kind of thrown out and we had to escape. So we went from there, we went from Brazil, and then we went from Brazil up to New York. So I don't have that connection to that culture. So when I see, like, a mishmash of cultures being used together, and I don't know, when I see this mishmash being used, it makes me happy because I'm like, oh, wow, there's so many different things being represented. There's so many, like, pulls. For example, in that first area, you said you heard more of a Nigerian sound. In my ears, it sounded like a Jewish song to me, a Hebrew song that I heard growing up. So it was, like, nondescript enough that we both kind of got something from it. And but then also they're pulling stuff from Native American culture, but they're also pulling some inspiration from Viking culture. And then they're also pulling stuff from, like Mesoamerican culture. Like, there's everything being used. And, like, when someone says, hey, you know, fuck you, take that out of the game, that kind of, like, I asked you the other day, I was like, when is it okay? Do they bring out the art director and he's Native American? They're like, oh, it's cool. He's one of us. We're good. Like, you know, when is it okay? Well, I'm saying,
so
in terms of appropriation, it means you're taking something from someone else's culture and then you're using it to in an exploitive way. Right. So, for example, in this weird alternate universe, Jewish culture is the new wave, is cool, is really interesting to people. And then someone is using Jewish culture as a way of, like, making a bunch of money and shitting on the Jewish culture while not representing them properly. Hell yeah, that's really shitty. But in a game, in this scenario with this game, where not one culture is being represented, not where it's like, oh, everything is Native American. It's like, hey, it's Native American, it's Viking, it's African, it's Mesoamerican, it's South American. It's literally everything. Every race is represented. I see fucking Asian people in here, or Asian people who look Asian. I see people who look Mediterranean. I see people who are, like, one of the first main characters you meet is a black. There's a black girl and then a white guy. Like, you know, like, not saying that there's only two races in the world, but, like, everything is represented. And I think that's where I draw the line of, like this isn't really appropriating, in my opinion, because it's taking a small bit of everything. Now, if it was just Native American culture, if this game was called Horizon Zero Dawn and it was only Aloy and only the arrows and only, like, none of the world building was there, then yeah, maybe I would say, oh, appropriation. But just, and again, I need to read the article in its entirety to understand his opinion, but, like, I feel like you hear this thing a lot, and you hear outrage culture, and you hear that, like, people are just really hyped to fucking get really angry about stuff. And I feel like I don't know enough about the issue, and I haven't played long enough of the game to know if this is an outrage culture situation, like a quick to reaction. But, like, I don't see it. I don't really see. And again, tell me about the shallowness thing, because that was your biggest argument for appropriation.
Yeah, because my biggest argument was that, like, I think even if a Native American artist or an African person, like, even worked on the game, I don't think it. Like, for me, the problem I had, it wouldn't have justified the problem I had. Like, the problem I had was that, like, these certain tidbits are in here, and I felt like they didn't make sense for what the game was trying to do. For example, like, if a developer made a game, like, in Africa, right, and all of a sudden, like, or, like, in the games in, like, this game's set in, like, South Africa, but all of a sudden, like, you pass by a certain village in the game, and, like, they're, like, doing, like, this German kind of dance or something like that, I'll be like, this doesn't make sense. That's kind of how I felt in that certain situation. But also, I think in general, like, in turn, if we're talking about what makes appropriation right versus what makes appropriation wrong, one, I don't know really, I I don't know much about appropriation because that's kind of outside my depth. But also, like, if I think to me of what, how can an artist use Nigerian culture, since I'm Nigerian, how can an artist use Nigerian culture, put into his game, and have it be an okay thing? Where, what would make it okay versus what would make it not okay? And for me, the answer would be, like, just do it in a thoughtful way, and just don't have it be, like, a convenient thing. Like, if you have a Nigerian character in your game, that's all good. That's cool. If you have, like, characters wearing Nigerian clothing, that's dope. Have a reason for it, though. Like, don't just, like, do it as just a thing just because you can. Like, make it make sense, make it be deeper. And yeah, I don't know. Like,
but do you think in this current game your issue, the you thought that it was a Nigerian sounding song and I thought it was a Jewish sounding song, we have no way of knowing what it was, you know, what it was pulling from in terms of its inspiration. So, like, when you said, he's like, yeah, you told me it kind of felt culturally appropriate, it kind of felt that way in a little bit because it didn't feel as deep, but there's no way of knowing what wellspring it was
I first heard it, I was like, this sounds pretty Nigerian, which is why I had that initial like, huh, I don't know about this. But, like, I mean,
but then this thing about the world, though, it's a Viking world with Native American, like, outfits, with, like, with headdresses, yeah, and with, which, like, is... with outfits of that, with a multicultural cast, with a female lead, with, like, yeah, like, in an area that's in those, Seattle, those, you know what
things,
I mean? Like,
those things don't really justify it, though. Like, just because something has a female lead doesn't mean
I know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's not just taking one thing, it's taking inspiration from all things, and I think it doesn't give it a pass, but what I'm saying is that it to me, it doesn't feel as though it's appropriating anything in a negative way.
It feels like it's trying to be a jack of all trades.
It's wellspringing. Yeah, it's like taking like a little bit of this, like the language, like, again, like, I'm pulling from my own roots because I know Hebrew and I know a little bit Japanese culture. Like, I don't see any Asian culture in here, except for some of the buildings might look like pagodas. But if they are based off pagodas, that's fucking cool. And, like, the attitude I think that people should have more, in my opinion, obviously, is that, in games like this, where it's using a wellspring, a bunch of different things together, people should be like, holy shit, dude, my culture made the cut. We did it. They took from Jewish culture. They took from African-American culture. They took from, like, you know, like, I don't know, Mexican culture. We did it. We were cool enough and inspiring enough to be a part of this art. We became art. Our culture ascended to a different plane, and now we are an inspiration for art. As opposed to this thing where it's like, fuck you, man. Don't you dare touch this thing. This is my thing. Like, you know, it seems as though people are very protective of that sort of thing. And
I don't know if that's how people are approaching it, though. Like, at least, like, for me, like, when I play the game, that's not really how I'm approaching it. I don't think anybody should be, like, offended by the game at all, because, like, the game, like, I don't think...
And yet people are. There's definitely a sect of people saying, like, oh, this is the entire article
are offended by everything, though.
There was enough of an issue where literally the dude who wrote the narrative, Horizon Zero Dawn writer, responds to criticism of Native American appropriation. Dude, in the first area, it's a fucking Viking palace. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I understand that right now, especially with the Native American culture, with the whole pipeline stuff in America, there is this very thin, like, barrier to hostilities towards Native American people in that particular scenario, the Dakota Access Pipeline or whatever, and also other stuff in the real world, in the political world. But this game has been in development for like 3 or 4 years now, however many years. But, and I know art isn't made in a bubble, but what I'm saying is that
we're jumping to a lot of conclusions, because, like,
I mean, definitely,
we haven't read what people had to say, and for example, we're saying that, like, people are, like, super angry about it, and we don't know if people are super angry because we haven't, like, read what people had to say. And I'm speaking from how I view appropriation, and how, like, when I was playing the game, like, my opinion of it, and, like, I don't know what freaking Austin Walker has to say on Waypoint. I don't know what anybody else's opinion on it is. I know what my opinion on it is. In my opinion, like, I'm not like super offended. I'm not offended by at all by it. In fact, it's not even a thing of, like, I felt like that, like, I don't think the game is racist or anything. I was like, this is one thing where I'm like, this game could have maybe done better. And that thing is like, be more thoughtful. And if you want to pull from different cultures and stuff, I think that's cool. I just think it should be done more thoughtfully and not kind of more done in a way that's throwaway. Because like the way I see it, this is a 40-hour game that's deep. It has a deep story. It has deep RPG mechanics. It's supposed to be a game with a fleshed out world, a fleshed out lore. And if you're just taking things and putting them in there for stylistic reasons, that's cool. But also, like, depending on what it is, like if it's a thing that you can pull from, like if I see like a Viking thing in this game, that's dope. Show me how that got there. If you have like an African thing in this game, show me how that got there. If these people have dreads, like, and I know a lot of these, it's hard to like explain every single little thing in a world, and I think that's a valid thing. But for me, like, there are certain things I see in the game where I'm like, oh, cool, how did that happen? Like, there's a part in the game where it seems like there's a predominant like kind of Asian culture in this area of the game that I got to, and I'm like, cool, this is dope. How did this get here? And I'm sure that they might explain it in some way, because it seems very like heavy in that area. But like in this throwaway thing in this one village, I'm like, I'm not saying it is a Nigerian thing, because I don't know for positive. I didn't stand there and try to listen and try to figure out if I could get the language. It sounded very African to me though, and so I immediately was like, huh, that seems random. This doesn't seem like it belongs in this certain area of the game.
Wait a minute. Is Africa? Wait. Huh. We need to talk about this later and play Hebrew and African like hymns
It might sound super similar to each other.
Jerusalem is north of Africa, so I mean I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. But I appropriation again is a thing that I'm not like well like versed on. It's not something that I've like studied on. I'm like, oh yeah, I can talk about this with authority. I learned the word appropriation probably like last year. And so I don't really talk about it that much, because I honestly don't get a lot of it. Like, people who are mad at the dreads, like, first of all, like, I still don't understand why people get mad. I get mad at white people with dreads, but that's because white people don't look good with dreads. It's not because of any like cultural thing or any like offensive thing. It's just because I'm like, man, dreads on white people, it's like putting like, I don't know, it's like putting like mayonnaise and pudding or something. It just doesn't work for me. But like, it's more of a comedic thing than anything, right? It's not like a super serious thing to me. And like, I know certain people take it super seriously. Certain people are like, why should white people have dreadlocks? Why do these people have to do this? Oh, you're taking from my culture. And like, some of that stuff I'm like, I don't understand. Some of it I'm like, oh, I do understand. For example, like, there's a lot of like white people that listen to like hip hop and listen to engage in like rap music and stuff, but hate black people. And I'm not saying that's bullshit, and I completely agree with you, and for clarification, that's not like a wide net. I'm not saying most white people.
There's a sect of white people that enjoy black culture but don't care about black people. Yeah,
there's a very good quote from I can't remember his name. He's a very famous comedian. He was on Chappelle's show, and he was like, everybody want to be black, but don't nobody want to be black, you know. And that's kind of the way I see quite a few people talk about appropriation is in like a lot of people like want to like engage in somebody's culture, at least like what they perceive as cool in that person's culture, but they don't want to like actually like engage in that person's culture. They just see one thing and they're like, oh, that's cool, oh, but like I don't really care about these people at all. I just care about like this certain thing. And so I think that's a deeper conversation to have. It's a really difficult conversation to have, because it's very deeply faceted, and like there's some elements of racism, there's some elements that like just aren't racism. I think there's also an element of like innocence, and of like some people just like dreads, you know, and like some people just
I think you and I talked about that, where like I'm a white dude and I don't know, like I posed this like imaginary scenario to you when you and I talked about it first, where I was like, I grow up and like my best friend is Jamaican and I want to have dreads because I love my best friend and he has that hairstyle and I love my best friend, that's it. And like then someone's like, fuck you, man. And then you're like, but my what this is I just my friend has this haircut, he doesn't care. I don't, like, you know what I mean, like that's there is a level of innocence that isn't like addressed as much, but I do agree. And the thing is, like, I have the luxury of having a diverse palette of friends. Like, for example, you and I are different races and we come from different backgrounds and we were born mm-hmm. in completely different places, but we are able to have this open forum, and like, not a lot of people have that. And I think that that's why both of us kind of fall in this weird middle ground of appropriation, where we're like, I don't know, Bless is cool with it. And you're like, I don't know, Ian's cool with it. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It becomes this weird area where we have a representative of a group of people that is not from our, like, I guess people call it now tribalism, I guess. Like, you and I, like, exist on different, like, tribal systems. So, like, I ask you, like, yo, is this cool? And you're like, yeah. And then you ask me, hey, is this cool? And I'm like, yeah. And we're able to, like, kind of break that barrier. So these issues about, like, separating one another become more nuanced for people like you and I.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, like, I also want to say, like for people listening and, like, for everybody in general, like, when it comes to topics like these, right, when it comes to, like, social justice or appropriation or racism or whatever that topic may be, mostly everything is a gray area when it comes to these things. Like, very rarely will you, like, find, like, something that's, like, concrete, this is the answer, this is the way. Like, I can tell you for sure that racism is bad. I can tell you for sure that you should love one another. There are certain things I can tell you for sure. A question like, should developers work harder to put people of different races in the game? That's more of a conversation to have. Like, for me, it's a clear thing of, like, I think yeah, but also I think, like, people might come with the perception of, like, hey, like, developers should have, like, the freedom to do what they want, and I respect that view, and I think that's more of a conversation. There's a deeper layer to some of these things, because both sides on most issues, on a lot of issues, have good points to make, and I think there's a middle ground that people can find on almost anything. There's certain things people can't find a middle ground on, like, for example, like, I mean, like, should gay people get married? I mean, I think for most people in America, at least at this point, it's a clear yes. But, like, and, like, it's hard to find a middle ground on an issue like that. I think for some people, and especially like Christians, because I think it's a hard topic for Christians, I think there's more of a conversation being had. But, like, in general, like, for the most part, like, it's like a clear, like, yes. And I mean, I say Christians because I'm a Christian. I guess religious people in general might be the more objective way to say it, but yeah, like, that's why I like having conversations like these, especially on a podcast, because I feel like more people should be able to engage in these conversations and even listen to these conversations and maybe not be engaged in it, because I feel like there's a strong thing when it comes to listening. Like, when I listen to Colin Moriarty on Kind of Funny talk about certain topics and I'm not able to engage with him, but I just have to, like, just listen, because there's nothing I can do but listen, because he's the speaker and I'm the listener at that point. I think it helps to build more perspective on a certain person's case. Like, I've built a large respect for people who are conservative, and I've grown to understand a lot of the arguments and a large part of the side of people who are conservative or may take more conservative views in regards to even, like, more social things, because I've been able to, like, just sit down and listen to people have those conversations. And so, yeah, I'll leave it there.
I want to have one final thing. So
yeah,
in terms of representation in games, and I know we're fucking talking so long about this, but an argument that someone made to me, I think, was that with all these main characters that are white, and your argument is that, you know, creators should want to do what they want to do. So if a character, if a writer wants to make a character that's white, they should make him white. If the character wants to make him black, etc. But the thing is that there's so many white main characters, white male main characters, that it becomes this, like, normalization of, like, being white is the default in America, or the default person in general. And that's where I think it gets really problematic for me. And I think that's why it becomes a thing where, like, we should push for more diversity, because it should never be a thing where, like, oh yeah, every main character is white. It should be a thing where, like, oh yeah, the character from this game is black and the character from this game is white. And when you get so many games over and over and over again of white people or white Christian, whatever, like, then you get into a situation where, like, we should be, hopefully in the future, one day we're in a point where, like, we don't need to even talk about diversity because there's so many games of these different characters. Like, of these different races that we can't count on like one hand. You know what I mean? And that's, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why I think that this is important to me as well. And let me tell you just a quick story from my personal life about representation and why it's important. And then we'll move on from this topic. So, so growing up, a friend of mine and I, we both watched the Power Rangers and the original 90s Power Rangers. And he is a Dominican guy and I am a Jewish guy. So we're both watching the show and he goes, oh, like, I really like the red Power Ranger. And he goes, and I go, so, oh, I said, why? Why would you like the red Power Ranger? And he's like, oh, like, red's my favorite color. And, you know, like, you know, my friend is Italian, so I like him because he's Italian. And then I was like, oh, that's weird. And then he's like, wait, who's your favorite character? And I said, oh, the blue character, obviously. And he goes, why? And I was like, oh, because he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. And that's, there's like a plot point in like the early 90s Power Rangers that Billy is Jewish. And I was like, oh, I'm Jewish. And then I instantaneously connected with this person because whether it be a religion or a race or whatever, like, you inherently go, like, if you're a Jewish person, you have certain things that you do. You go to temple, you learn a language. And that's the same for being a race or being a being a part of a culture. Like, if you're white, you do certain things when you're growing up, like, more so than other people. If you're black, certain things happen to you and you go through certain things and think, and your life is different just inherently because you look different or because you're a part of a different, like, in-group. And, you know, when I decided that the Blue Ranger was my favorite character, that, like, I had this inherent connection because I was like, oh, he went to temple just like me. Oh, he knows Hebrew just like me. Like, he had a bar mitzvah just like me. And there's this, like, weird backstory for him that I, like, that other people who aren't Jewish didn't have because they didn't have that connection. And in the early 90s, I'm very thankful that so many shows brought Judaism to the limelight. You know, there's a Rugrats special all about it, and I freaked the hell out when then that special happened because I was like, oh my god, the main character is Jewish just like me. And again, like, people say, like, oh, you don't need to relate to these characters and, like, and et cetera, et cetera. I know that's a big argument for Colin Moriarty, but again, like, as a white guy and you see all these white characters, like, I always feel this strange disconnect. But then whenever a character, like, again, like I just mentioned, the Blue Ranger, like Tommy Pickles, all this stuff growing up, I instantaneously connected with them just because I had known that he was in my in-group. He was a part of this Jewish subculture that I was a part of. And that made me so happy. And I instantaneously fell in love with this character because it felt like I was being represented. I was up there. I was a part of it. You know what I mean? And that's what and that's why I think representation is so important. And I think that, you know, for example, if you have like a young kid, like a, I don't know, like a 5-year-old kid, you know, watching these shows or playing these games, and they see only a white people, and you know, maybe they're black or maybe they're Persian or maybe they're Hispanic or et cetera, et cetera. And I can definitely feel them having this disconnect where they feel like they're not being represented, and that can be really shitty because, and maybe if it doesn't feel shitty, you never get that aha moment like, oh man, this character, I connect with this person on a deeper level because of we went through these same experiences, and that sucks. Like, even if it's not an imperative, even if it's a thing where, like, oh man, like, we shouldn't force creators to create a certain way, and I agree, but by not having diverse characters and by not having main characters be the focus that are different, you're taking away this amazing aha moment from people that, like, makes them fall in love with characters, you know.
No, yeah, like, I totally agree. And, like, even this kind of feeds back into Horizon Zero Dawn, because, like, in the doc, you had written that, like, there are people, I can't see it right now. Or, oh, so there are people, like, really pissed that, that Aloy is a girl, right? And, like, I think that, I'm assuming, this stemmed from, like, kind of funny to, like, a fan wrote in, to PS I Love You and was saying that, like, hey, I don't like that Aloy's a girl because, like, I can't relate to her and stuff. And then that kind of turned into a conversation of, like, Colin Moriarty being like, why do people have to relate to characters to understand this idea? And I basically echo everything that you just said. There are a few art means a lot to me because I relate to the people that are either in the art or who are creating the art. And so, like, Camp is, like, my second favorite rap album of all time. It's my second favorite music album of all time because I relate so hard to Donald Glover and Childish Gambino, right? Scott Pilgrim versus the World is my favorite movie of all time because I relate super hard to Michael Cera. And, of course, like, Michael Cera is white. I can still relate to him because he's white, but I relate to him because he's awkward. It's a different thing, right? Grand Theft Auto San Andreas it's also one of my favorite games of all time. At a certain point, it was my favorite game ever. And that's because I relate to what's going on in that game because they're black. Like, I can relate to different people for different reasons. A big part of my identity is the fact that I'm black, right? Just like a big part of your identity, I'm guessing, is that you're white, right? When we see people... Yes and no.
Jewish, again, like, yeah, Judaism, like, being Jewish is like a big part of it, because that's where my culture is from. But yeah, go on.
Yeah, but, like, when we see people, like, the first thing we see, like, well, according to, like, Adidas commercials, is their shoes, right? But the second thing we see is, like, I see somebody that, like, they're white, or I see that they're Asian. It's not like a racial thing. Like, I'm not, like, programmed, like, oh, that person's, like, Asian, or oh, that person's, like, white, or whatever. And it's not like I'm thinking that we're different or anything, but it's, like, the first, when you see somebody, you see their origin, you see, like, where they're from, you see, I don't know, you see the history of that person through, maybe, like, through possibly what their race is. And I don't say that to separate people. I say that to, like, I say that as in people are unique and people are their own people, and there are unique characteristics to everybody. Like I say, like, one of my identifying things for me is that I'm black. I'm also, like, a nerd, right? I'm also, like, I'm also a male. I'm also straight. I mean, I guess straight isn't a thing I super identify. I mean, I'm straight for sure, but it's not like that's like
a hole right there. You're like, I don't really identify.
if you ask me, like, to describe myself, right, one of the things wouldn't be like straight, right? But
you're like liking that girl time.
If I was gay or something, my life would be completely different, right? Like, I would have a completely different experience in life. I do think representation. Is important, and I think that from just a societal aspect, but I also think from a game design aspect, there are more opportunities for storytelling, more opportunities for different kinds of stories to be told by having a very varied kind of thing, going against the norm, right? Like, if I pick up a Call of Duty game, I can tell you right now, I'm gonna play as a white dude, like, for sure. And I played maybe like one level of one Call of Duty campaign, but I can probably tell you that, like, all the main characters, probably all of them, if not like 9 out of 10 of them, are probably white dudes. And I can tell you that for most games, right? And I feel like that is a sign of, like, developers either being uninspired or afraid to take risks. I don't know. Like, it seems like a lazy kind of thing to me that developers can't be like, you know what? Everybody else is doing the white guy. That sounds funny when I say it like that. Everybody else is making white characters. Let's make a black character. That's why I love Horizon. One of the reasons I love Horizon is because there's a female character. And that's not one of the, like, the central reasons why I love Horizon. I love Horizon because it's a dope, amazing game. But also, like, I tend to love games with female characters that you can play as, because, like, it's a different kind of feel. Like, there's a different, it just feels different. Playing Tomb Raider, playing Mirror's Edge, playing Horizon, there's something about it where I'm like, this feels cool. And I think it's because there's a difference to it, and that difference is, like, I'm playing as something that's not, like, the default archetype. And so, yeah, we should. How far are we into this podcast? Oh, cool.
Too long.
Okay, let's move on. And so
we accidentally did a podcast just now.
We accidentally just recorded a whole podcast. So as far as what I've been up to this week, I of course played Horizon. I played Night in the Woods, which is an indie game. It's fun, it's dope, it's cartoony. I won't get into it. Maybe if I play more of it, I'll get into it in the weeks to come. And also, reviews are out for Zelda, and people are saying it's one of the greatest games of all time, if not, like, the greatest, like, game of all time. So that's the thing that happened. I'm playing it this week. I'll be back. We'll be actually, were you not able to get a Switch?
No, I wasn't able to find one.
Dang, dude. Are you still planning to get one as soon as we can, or?
I mean, yeah, like, if I see one, I'm going to pop one in. Like, right now, the only way for me to get one would be for me to spend a lot more money than I feel comfortable with, like $100 more. So, strong no on that one.
Nice. All right, well, that's what I've been up to this week, and that's kind of the thing. There has been some news this week, but I don't think there's anything big that we really want to touch on. Next week is gonna be a dope episode, because I would have had a week with the Switch. My Switch comes in tomorrow. It was supposed to come in today. I'm really mad about it. Our topic of the show, our topic of the show basically was like the last hour we had, but
yeah,
our,
like,
secondary topic of the show, we don't have viewer questions. We have I'll just read what you have for viewer questions right now. I put out a post or a tweet because I didn't ask for your questions still halfway through this podcast because I totally forgot. And I got one tweet back from Art Vandelay at Jeffrey Abbas saying, no can do fam, my question got delayed by Amazon, which is hilarious.
Ooh, topical.
What up?
Call that one topical.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. What up, Art Vandelay, Jeffrey Abbas? The final thing we'll talk about, though, I guess we'll talk. The thing we'll leave off with is the topic of the show, or at least what we had as the topic of the show, which it seems that everything is crazy awesome right now for video games, entertainment in general, especially video games. So, like, do you think there are any trends in the industry that will start to take place, or anything in the industry that seems that like it'll change due to like kind of the awesomeness that is taking place right now? I know we haven't played Zelda, and so we can't really speak on how Zelda is going to change
so
the industry.
But I want it,
dude,
so bad.
The things
anyway.
People are saying about Zelda are like blowing my mind, and I have to get into this game. And I'm like, at this point, I'm overhyped for it, right? And yeah. If this is anything else, I'd be like, oh well, I'm gonna be disappointed because like literally this game is getting 10s out everywhere. But at this point, like, I'm fine with being overhyped for this game because literally, like if it's getting 10s just everywhere, then I mean, I'm gonna hold it up to that standard, and yeah. If it fails to meet it, then I mean, I'm still probably gonna like love it, and whatever. But
yeah, it looks beautiful.
I have hopes. Looks beautiful, plays beautiful. I've been hearing crazy things about it. Crap, what was the game? Oh, Horizon. I forgot Horizon existed for a second. I was like, there was another game that came out besides Zelda. Is there anything in Horizon that you feel like developers might see and be like, oh, we have to try that? It's weird because it's like a. It seems like it is a game that takes a bunch of different things from a bunch of different games. So,
yeah, like I don't know. It seems strange. Like, it seems like a culmination of so many different things that I don't think it does one thing better than other things or better than other games. I think it does really good environmental storytelling. So maybe other games will kind of take that and try and push games with more environmental storytelling. But, like, the games that have been coming out that have been really good have been really great for different reasons. Like, you know, Nioh came out and it was a Dark Souls-inspired game, but did a lot of its own things. You know, Horizon Zero Dawn is very similar to Far Cry, but does a lot of its own things. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like games are just getting better just because we have, like... So, like, in development, when people have the system for a decent amount of time, they start to figure out better ways to use the technology. And I feel like that we're getting to that like sweet spot for the PS4, for the Xbox One, you know, because we're getting towards the end of this current cycle of consoles. So I feel like devs are more experienced with the tech. They know what they can draw out of it. And I feel like that's one of the reasons why we're getting these high quality, really polished games because of that. So yeah, in terms of a trend, though, I can't really see any trend because I'm not seeing a trend between games. So
yeah,
maybe this is like the year of an adaptation, like games building on past games and stuff like that. Like, for example, Zelda is apparently a really great Zelda game, but it's inspired by like Western games like Skyrim and open world games. Horizon is inspired by Far Cry. Like, it seems as though there's like a common thread that every game that came out this year is following, and I feel like that is only going to increase as time goes on.
The funny thing about Zelda is that people are talking about it and are saying that like this game's gonna like kind of like redefine the way people approach open world games, like, and people are saying that like it differs from something like Skyrim or The Witcher or like any other open world game, you know, because it doesn't have like a set path at all. Like, it kind of just drops you in and is like, hey, explore. And I think that, like, I said this last week, like, people are saying that it's, like, it's most like the first Zelda. There was a screenshot, there were some tweets from Nintendo's account, and they're doing a presentation at the Game Developers Conference, and we're saying that, like, hey, this is the way we approached making this game. And they showed screenshots of, like, the original Zelda, but redone. And basically the director of the game was making, like, a Zelda styled like the first Zelda in order to deliver ideas of how they were going to approach making that game. And so, like, that kind of blew my mind, especially when I first saw the screenshot. It looked like Zelda Maker, which had me really excited. But also, like, I'm excited to see if anything happens after Zelda. I know I haven't played the game yet, and I'm kind of overhyping it a bit, having not played it. But hearing people talk about it, people are talking about it like it's like Jesus Christ came down and just handed us the game himself. And so, as far as other games, I'm actually kind of scared for Nier.
Nier Automata.
Yeah, like it looks good.
Do you know anything about the story, by the way?
No.
Yeah, don't. I spent the past like 2 days like looking at every single story like thing, and my brain hurts. My brain physically hurts.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. I can't wait for Mass Effect. I'm not gonna play. Mass
Oh,
Effect,
Mass Effect 2. Jesus. Man,
that's a game. That'll sell fine because it's Mass Effect. But like Nier is gonna get tumbled. I don't know. The industry seems to be in an interesting place. And I keep thinking about Xbox for some reason in the last couple of weeks, because Xbox seems to be in a place where they're like about to strike super hard. I kind of just feel it. I feel like Xbox is kind of quiet right now. Because there doesn't seem to be like any like recent like big exclusives. Especially like in a time where like PlayStation is coming out with like super like the PlayStation is coming out with Neo, Yakuza, Resident Evil on the VR, Horizon has Persona 4 coming up. Like PlayStation is killing it with the exclusives, and Xbox kind of has nothing, it seems like. Yeah. But I was listening to an interview with Phil Spencer the other day, and that guy seems to know what he's doing. And I think Scorpio seems to be the thing. Like this E3 seems like it's going to be big for Xbox. But also seems like it's going to be big for everybody. And so I'm very curious to see how Xbox strikes back, because Xbox, like Microsoft in general, like they know what they're doing. And I don't know, it seems like they're gearing up for something, especially right now in a time where PlayStation is killing it and Nintendo's just released a new console. I mean, I guess we could probably wrap up the podcast. It seems like we kind of like ran through everything. We had like
it
a schedule,
like,
and we kind of just went on
tangent.
A
tangent. Yeah, we on a giant like two-tiered tangent, and I hope
I don't know where to go with. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good podcast though. I think this is probably one of our best though, even though it was like just a giant kind of thing. I mean, do you have anything else before we just wrap up? I want to give some inspiration to people.
Some inspiration. I guess like final pieces of advice is that if you are someone who doesn't know anything about appropriation, or like if you feel bad about liking this certain thing, then go out and just talk to people and just start a dialogue. And even though I know that now it can be difficult, and I know that it can be like embarrassing to say that you don't know something, especially in like the age of the internet, saying like, oh, you know, I don't really know, because then people shit on you for it, and that sucks. But I think that this podcast, if it can teach anyone anything, is that if you have a friend, just start a dialogue with them. And, you know, Blessing and I, we come from completely different spaces, and like we met on the goddamn internet. So like the fact that we started not only a radio show or podcast show, but also now every week sit down and have these difficult conversations, either on the air or off the air, you know, I hope that if anyone is listening, they can also do that with people that they know in their lives, maybe with their parents or maybe with like their friends or coworkers, etc. Mm-hmm. And just try and make these conversations happen, because, you know, we can't make change happen in any format, in any sort of substantial way, unless we start with ourselves and then move on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And to piggyback off of that and to wrap up, for sure, like we, like us two, we don't really know much about appropriation. We don't know much about like a lot of things, but we speak to express ourselves. And I think that's what, when approaching certain things, when approaching certain topics, when talking to your people, like talk to people in order to express yourself, and not in order to like argue or like try and convince somebody that you're right and they're wrong, right? Like nobody wants to hear that they're wrong. Nobody wants to hear that they have the wrong idea. Nobody wants to hear that you're right. Everybody wants to be heard. And so like allow others to be heard, and also like when expressing yourself, like don't do it in a way that is putting down somebody else's view of something. And so I'll just leave it at that. And so remember, for those listening, that the OK Beast podcast is a gaming and nerd culture centric show where a couple of friends come together and talk about what's going on in our world. We're the official podcast of OKBeast.com. If you like the show, remember to subscribe to us on your streaming service of choice. Visit OKBeast.com and follow at OKBeast now on Twitter. I've been Blessing. You can follow me at Blessing Jr. on Twitter. That has been Ian. You can find him at Ian Why Not on Twitter, I hope, unless you changed it.
No, I didn't.
Which this is awkward. Okay, cool. We'll see you next episode. Say bye to the people.
Goodbye.